Good morning. It is a good morning. Now, if you're like me and you've got aches and pains, maybe just a little less memory than you used to have, maybe you've got so many things going on that it's kind of hard to keep up with them. I can go on. Sickness, illness, difficulties, etc., etc., etc. Merry Christmas! You know, I just wonder if you ever found yourself surrounded by people that are all full of holiday cheer and you don't feel like it. Come on, any bah humbugs? Now, I know better than to ask you right here in front of God and everybody, but I do know this. It happens to all of us at times, but when other people around you just seem to have that Christmas joy, and all you've got is the grumps, you just don't feel like singing. There are those times, you know, when everybody's happy, but you're not. You need to remember this story. I'm going to tell you about a young lady, a girl, who had a lot of reasons to be stressed out about Christmas. She had a lot of reasons to be complaining. She was very poor. As a matter of fact, she was of one of the lowest classes of her society. She didn't have any political power or rights. She was a female in a culture that really considered women more like property than people. And as it turns out, she's an unwed mother. And in her culture, dear friend, that was a sentence to death, if anybody found out. Her fiancé found out that she was with child, and he was considering calling off their engagement. And that meant, if he did, that she probably would never find a husband. And yet, in spite of all of those things, in spite of all that she had to be worried about, in spite of all that she had to be sad about, she was so happy about her situation that she sang. She sang a song. I'd like to read the words to that song to you because it's in God's Word. Would you stand with me in honor of reading the Word of God? Luke chapter 1. Beginning at verse 46, we're going to read through verse 55. You see, as Mary went to go see a cousin of hers, Elizabeth, who was carrying whom? John the Baptist. The scripture says that when Mary saw Elizabeth, that John the Baptist leaped in Elizabeth's womb. I mean, he was jumping for joy just to be in the presence he already knew of being with Jesus. And Elizabeth called out a blessing to Mary and said, "Oh, blessed are you who believed that there will be fulfillment of the things that the Lord has told her." And then Mary said, look at this, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones. He has exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." I wish I could sing like Mary sang. I don't know what tune it had, but that's a song, dear friend. That's a cry out from the heart that expresses not someone who is sad about their situation, but from someone who is filled with joy. Mary's song shows us a number of things. Would you pray with me that the joy that Mary felt could be yours? Join me in prayer. Would you bow your head? Ask this prayer. Petition God your Father and ask for this. Say, Lord, I want some joy. If you've lost it, would you say, God, restore my joy. Show me how. Oh, Father, we ask that your word would not come to our ears and not make it to our heart. God, fill us with your joy. And God's people said, amen. Would you be seated? Mary's song suggests four reasons that we need, that we can have joy, that you can have it. You don't have to say, want some, wish I, could I, maybe, someday. You can say, I can have joy. Mary's song gives us four reasons to set your heart singing. Number one, because God can make you happy. Isn't that nice to know? God can do a lot of things. But God can make you happy no matter where you're at, no matter what's going on, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you're going through. God can make you happy. He can give you joy. Now, some people say it's money that makes me happy. Or maybe there's some really altruistic people out there that without a doubt would say, you know, marriage makes me happy. Maybe some are saying, you know what, my house makes me happy. My boat makes me happy. My car, my family. Maybe there are many things that make you happy. But Mary's song made it clear. The reason that she is singing is because God makes her happy. God gives her joy. She said, my soul rejoices in God my Savior. It rejoices in what? God, her Savior. Knowing God made Mary's soul rejoice. Now I want you to notice some things about Mary's hymn, Mary's song of happiness. First of all, I noticed that Mary knows God personally. It does not say God the Savior, and He is the Savior, amen? He is the only Savior. And yet she doesn't use the, she uses a personal pronoun, my. God is my Savior. Oh, dear friend, let me tell you about the difference. She's not just somebody that knew about God. She knew God. You can know all about God right here and not know God right here. You want to tell you somebody who knows more information and has more knowledge about Bible and biblical things than you ever thought about knowing and is lost. Satan, Lucifer, and many others who have a knowledge of God but do not have a knowing of God. Mary knows God personally. Her relationship, friend, is real and personal. That's what God wants with you. He doesn't want you to say, well, that God out there somewhere, He wants you to call out and say, my God, right here. That's why we call Him Emmanuel. Amen? God with us. Second thing that I notice is that Mary doesn't claim to be sinless. I want you to know that there's a lot of people out there that think Mary was some kind of incredible saint that never had sin. But that's not what I see here. She knows that she's a sinner. It says here, my spirit has rejoiced in God my what? Savior. Her Savior. Mary needed a Savior. We all need a Savior. But Mary knows she's a sinner who needs God as her Savior, as all of us do. She was a special young lady, no doubt. But she was human. She was sinful, as all of us are. And then finally, I noticed this about her relationship with God. How does she feel about her relationship with God? Did she feel like, oh my goodness, I just can't stand before God. Oh, my goodness, I hate to think about God. Oh, my goodness, I don't want to know that God is watching. No, that's not how she feels at all. She says, I rejoice in God, my Savior. Friend, can you rejoice about God? I remember there were times when my mom would remind me, your dad's on his way home. And usually she did that because there was some chore that I was supposed to get done that daddy told me. He said, you make sure that this is done before I get home. So all of a sudden I was in a fret and I didn't want dad to get home early by any means because I was going to meet the circumstances, or should I say the justice for the circumstances that I'd left out there. So many people feel that way about God. I don't want to come before God. I don't want to meet God. Mary rejoiced. She was joyful about her God. You know what the word joy, rejoice means? It means to jump up and down for joy like a child. Have you ever gotten excited about God? Okay, some of you ever gotten excited about anything? Anything. That's how Mary described her relationship with God. Joyful. She's singing because God makes her happy. Listen, that's a personal relationship with God. Let me ask you, who or what can make you happy? What can make you happy? I tell you what, millions upon millions think they know. They think, well, if I could just get this or that, that's what would make me happy. Watch The Price is Right. Come on, has anybody not watched The Price is Right? Here's a curtain where Carol Merrill is now standing. Watch The Price is Right, and you see how people jump for joy when they win a set of washer and dryers. When they win a boat. Or a new car. Even the I started to call them the congregation. Even the audience goes wild when somebody gets a chance to win a car. What is it? They jump for joy over what? Watch the fans at a football game when their team wins the championship. People experience joy and happiness when they get married, when their baby is born, when they get a Christmas bonus. So many things. I'm going to tell you this. Listen to me very carefully. It is not difficult in this world to find a little happiness. Are you with me? Happiness can be found. Pleasure can be found. But I'm going to tell you, you cannot find joy. It has to be given to you by God. It is a fruit of the Spirit and only comes from God the Father. So if you want joy, you're going to have to seek the Lord. You're going to have to talk to Him about it. Mary's song reminded us that it's not hard to have some happiness when things go well, but Mary's song was produced by something a whole lot deeper than that, because even though she didn't have much money, even though she was in a difficult circumstance, she found joy in the Lord, and it couldn't be shaken and it couldn't be taken. She loved the Lord God. God's abiding joy is the reason that Mary could sing. And friend, His joy is available to you too. You can have it. Joy doesn't depend on what's in your bank account or what's not in your bank account. Joy doesn't depend on your position at work. It doesn't depend on your health. God's joy is promised by Jesus to anyone who would seek it, who hears about Him and believes. Listen to John 15, verse 11. It says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. God's word says His joy can remain. It can stay in you, and it can be full joy. Men and women everywhere who think they know the answer to having happiness and joy, they're seeking happiness, but they can't find it because they're looking in the wrong place. You don't find joy in the world, although you can have joy while you're in the world. You find joy only through God. I guarantee you this. Listen to me. Unless you find your happiness in God, you never will be truly happy. Happiness of heart can no more be attained without God than light and sunshine without a sun. You've got to have God. Mary found her happiness in God, and you can too. Her song now describes another reason that you can have joy. And you can have joy because God has a special part for you to play. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 48 and following. It says, "For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. And holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation." You know, two of the most amazing discoveries in life are these two things. First of all, that God is still working out his plan for this world. He has not quit. He has not left. He didn't turn his back. He didn't leave us alone. He gave us that promise. Secondly, he has a special part and plan for every believer, not for every person unless they come to him. He would that they would come to him. But for every believer, there is a part and a plan in what God is doing. You have a special part to play in accomplishing God's plan. And Mary's song is a celebration of what her part was. If you go back and read earlier in this chapter, chapter 1 of Luke, the angel Gabriel reveals that she is going to be privileged to be the mother of God's son, the Messiah. God gives her a very important role to play in his plan. And she is excited that she can do this for her and that she can do it for him. Do you get excited when God calls you to his plan? Do you? I want you to go to Africa. Or work. Or across the street. Do we get excited that God includes us in his plan? We should. We should get excited that God includes us in his plan. I want you to stop and think about this. Just like it is for you, this opportunity is going to cost Mary a lot. And it's not just Mary, but her family. It's going to cost Mary and her family a lot. She and Joseph know the truth about the child she's carrying. But her story is going to be a little hard to swallow for a lot of people, don't you think? Come on now. This has never been done before. It's never happened before. And then on top of all of that, after Jesus is born, Herod is going to be a real danger to Mary and Joseph and Jesus. And don't forget the later hurt and pain that Mary is going to have at the end of Christ Jesus' life. Don't forget the words the prophet Simeon said to Mary. Listen, in Luke chapter 2, verse 35, Simeon said this. He said, "Yes, a sword will pierce through you also." Did Mary have a literal sword go into her body? No, but I'm telling you, she had worse than a sword go through her heart when she saw her son go through what he had to go through. Every mother can understand that. And in spite of the challenges and the promises and the predictions, the prophecies, if you will, Mary is glad to be chosen to be a part of God's plan. She sees beyond her own struggle and pain. In other words, folks, she gets over herself and she says, "I'm going to look to what God is going to do." Mary sings for joy that she has a God that is so great that not only notices an insignificant, seemingly insignificant girl like her, But he does more than that. He invites her to be a part of an incredible plan. Have you ever felt insignificant? Have you ever felt down? Have you ever felt oppressed? Listen, there is reason to sing. Question is, have you discovered your part in God's plan? Let me stop. Maybe if you're taking notes right now, would you find a place on that bulletin and write down what you believe God has for you? What has God called you to do? What has God called you to be? What is it? And if you don't know what to write down, dear friend, I'm going to tell you, how in the world could you expect to have joy if you're not following what God has prepared for you to do? Have you discovered God's plan? Would you like to? Anybody? Would you like to? Then here you go. I'm fixing to tell you the secret. I'm about to tell you the plan. I'm going to tell you the process. Are you ready? To find your place in God's design and to get your joy. Are you ready? First of all, you start each day by saying, God, thank you for loving me. And I know you love me so much, I trust you. Now here's the key. What have you got going on today, Lord? What do you want to do today? And how can I be a part of it? Here's the key. You need to stop making your own plans and asking God to bless your plans. And you need to stop and ask God what's His plan and you be a part of what He's doing. If you don't do that, how in the world can you do what God wants you to do? Most of us, I'm going to say believers, 99% of believers are guilty of saying, God, this is what I'm going to do. Bless me. And I'm going to tell you that is a deep error in your theology. You say, how can that be bad? Let me tell you how it's bad. What should a servant do? Should a servant of a household go to the master and say, Master, this is what I'm going to do. Bless it. No. He goes to the master and he says, Master, what do you want me to do today? And then what pleases the master? If the servant does what he's told. Friend, how in the world can we think that we can be doing God's plan if we're doing what we want and saying, God bless it? We need to be saying, God, what do you want? And we need to do it. That God will bless. I think, oh man, I think that there are so many people that really do want to serve God, but they have not gotten it down. Be still, listen to God, wait till He gives you instructions, and then do something. Wait until God gives you direction. God, help me do this, my own plans. It sounds noble, but it's just not. Instead, pray, God, what have you got going? What's my part in today? What do you want me to do? I will play any part you want me to. Whatever it is. That's your recipe for joy, friend. Find your part in God's plan. Find what God wants you to do. I'm going to tell you this again. I said this not long ago. I'll remind you again. I hope I say it often. Your purpose in God is always the same. It never changes. Your purpose is to glorify God. Your assignment might change. He might send you here or there, or turn you around to go here or there. But dear friends, your purpose will never change. Your assignment might, but your purpose will not. In spite of the mess people have made out of this sad, sinful world, God is still working out His glorious plan to change this place. He still wants it. Just like with Mary, He has a part for you to play. He has a part for me to play. But also, just like Mary, you're going, well, wait a minute. I don't know that I have anything. Yes, He does. If you believe in Jesus, if you believe that He is God's Son, if you have asked Him to come into your life, if you have surrendered to Him as Lord and Master, if you have received His grace and His love, dear friend, then you are on his roll as a servant. He's got something for you. He has got something for you to do. But I'm going to tell you, just like Mary, you have to say yes to his plan. You have to say, okay, God, that's what I'll do. And then not just do lip service, but do it. Will it cost you? Of course it's going to cost you. Will it be difficult? Of course it's going to be difficult. Can you tell me anything in life that makes a real difference that is not difficult? The question is, do you just want your time to pass away and then eventually you pass away? Or do you want your life to count for something? Mary joyfully takes her part in God's plan. And her song calls us to find our part. The wonderful thing is you don't have to make it up. Listen, all the pressure is off. I want everybody right now just go, whew. All the pressure is off. You have no pressure on you as to what you are supposed to accomplish. Just do what God tells you, and he will give you the strength, and he will do it. Faithful is he, God's word says, faithful is he who calls you, who also will accomplish it in your life. No pressure. Just be obedient. Just do what God leads you to do. We rejoice because a part that he's got for you. Because God can give you joy. But we also rejoice because God turns the world upside down. He did in her time, and he can do it again in ours. Look at verse 51 through 53. Scripture says, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. So many people misunderstand why God sent his son to earth. Why do you think he sent his son to earth? Did he just send, God just send his son so that we could be nicer people, to be like Jesus and be nice? Isn't that what we tell our children sometimes when they're not getting along with us? We say, be nice. Is that what God did for us? I want y'all to be nice to each other. That's not what it's about. Jesus didn't come so that we could just be nicer people. Jesus came to usher in God's kingdom into a fallen world. That's why he came. Not so that we could be nicer people, but so that we could actually follow his lead. I said that we can sing because God turns the world upside down, but I really think I got that backwards. I think the human being has turned the world upside down, and God wants to turn it right side up again. God wants to make things right. God came to right things. Reality, dear friends, in this upside down world is not from human reasoning, but by God's standards. That's right, and that's real. God's standards are the ones that tell us who we are, and what we need to be doing. The world's standards, doesn't matter if it's humanism or Marxism or socialism or whatever they are, that's human reasoning, and you're going to fall down into a pit every time you follow human reasoning. But if you want to make things right, follow God's word. And here it is. You follow what God's word says, not what man says. That's why it's so important that we know the word of God. You see, God's standards are very different from our own. Amen. God's ways are not our ways. And her song, Mary's song, reminds us that God will put down the proud and that he will lift up the humble. Mary recognizes that God's way of thinking is different. God will use his power and put down the proud and raise up the humble. God will turn the world of the proud back over. In other words, they're going to be upside down. See, right now, the proud and the pushing and the moving and the illicit and the wrong is on top. Amen? And the humble and the truthful and the loving and the caring and the Christians are on the bottom. But God wants to turn things around. That's why, dear friend, if you want to be lifted up, you better humble yourself before the Lord, because that's how you are going to be eventually lifted up. Mary's words remind me, it reminds us of Jesus' words in Luke chapter 6, verse 21 and 25. He said this, he said, "Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. Those who are hungry, God will satisfy." People think that taking care of themselves is what's going to get you to the top. But God says it's just the opposite. Working for yourself is a detour to the bottom, because God is going to flip things around one day. In God's eyes, the real way to climb higher is to humble yourself. God says it's not those who hunger for money and power and glory that will find real satisfaction, but it's those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's how they're going to win. True success is being humble enough to be used by God. Humble enough to say, "I'm not worthy, but God, I want to serve." Humble enough to say, "God, I can't do it on my own. I need your help." Humble enough to say, "God, my plan doesn't work. I want your plan." And Mary celebrates the fact that God's power can put our upside down world back right side up. That's what she's celebrating. Now finally, Mary's song celebrates something else that we can rejoice in, and that is God's faithfulness. Amen? We can celebrate and we can sing because God always keeps his promises. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 54 says, "He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." You see, Abraham had received a covenant from God. Not a contract, but a covenant. A covenant from God doesn't ever break. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, God told Abraham, "In you all families of the earth shall be blessed." And dear friends, the first Christmas was the fulfillment of God's promise. That was the fulfillment to Abraham. For almost 2,000 years, listen, that's a long time. For almost 2,000 years, Israel had been holding on to God's promise, and they had not seen the Messiah. A lot of people, most people, thought that God had forgotten them, that he had just gone on, left them alone. But some were still holding on to the promise of God's word, and they were still waiting for God's Messiah, God's deliverer, a Savior to finally fulfill God's promise that was made to Abraham 2,000 years earlier. Mary, listen to this, Mary believed God's word, and Mary believed in the God who keeps his promises. Do you? Her song proclaims that God will not forget his mercy, that God will not forget his people, God will not forget his promise, and that her son, the one that God placed in her, would be the proof that God keeps his promises. In our world, people forget their promises all the time. Amen? Amen? Come on. Listen, we all do it. We say something and then we forget. We say something or we get busy and we just don't think, "Well, maybe I just don't have time." You know what? We fail. But God never does. In our world, we forget. But Mary sings loud and clear for everybody to hear that God always keeps his word. He always keeps his promises. And dear friend, the Bible is full of God's promises to you and me. Absolutely filled. His promises of love, his promises of eternal and abundant life through Jesus Christ, promises that he cares about you, promises that he'll never forget you, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done. He said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. Let me ask you, do you believe God's promises? Not a rhetorical question. Do you believe God's promises? Yes or no? If you do, understand this, that when he said he's going to turn everything back right side up one day, you're going to want to be on the right side of the humble, of the serving. Mary believed God's promises. It hadn't happened yet fully in her, but it was on. He was on his way. And she came to testify that God, her Savior, keeps his word. Let me ask you, what do you have to sing about this morning? If I were to ask you, make a list. Man, I would really like you to do that. I was going to say, just stop. You need to do this today. Make a list. What can you sing about? Men, look at me. Men, you got a woman who loves you? Any testimonies? We need to sing like that Arab did on the Crusaders of the Lost Ark. He got a little kiss on the cheek and he... Guys, you got something to sing about? Ladies, do you have something to sing about? Has God been good? You know, we can sing about the things that God gives us in this world, but how much more when God gives us himself, his son? I know, listen, I wish I could pick each one of you out for just a moment of just you and me. I know some of you have some hurts. I know some of you have some difficulties. You have your share of troubles. There is no doubt about that. Some of you are stressed out about the holidays. You're anxious about the holidays because of things that are going to be there and because of some who won't be there. I know that some of you have some deep aches, some deep heartache. And this time of year makes it even harder. It makes it even more difficult. It's so easy to hide in depression and gloom. But I'm going to ask you, would you remember that God gives you joy? God will return your joy. This song, sung by this young girl, is such a reminder of our hope. She was surrounded with trouble and uncertainty, and yet she sang. She sang because God made her heart happy. Is your heart happy? I'm going to say if it's not, it's because of an absence of God. Is your heart happy? She sang because she knew she had a part to play in God's plan. She sang because God was turning her world right side up at some point. She didn't know when, but God was going to do that. And she sang because God always keeps his promises. Why not, dear friend, let God put a song back in your heart? Why not, my friend, let God put joy back in your heart? You've tried to find happiness in so many places. I know you have, because we all do. We tried to find it in our mate. We tried to find it in children. We tried to find it in a job. We tried to find it by recognition. We tried to find it by power. We tried to find it by pleasures. And although each one brings its own share of pleasantries, does not bring joy. That comes from God. You must find your joy in Christ Jesus. Why not bow your head right now and find that joy again in your Savior? He can do that. The Savior who once laid in a manger but died on a cruel cross, but rose from the grave. and has gone to prepare a place for you and for me. Friends, I want you to know the Jesus who can give you the song of life and joy that will never end. That comes through taking what he offers you. But friend, listen, I'm going to tell you one last time. You must say yes. Yes, I'll be obedient. Yes, I'll follow you. Yes to his son.